Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
We're now more than a week into the year 2021, but you could argue that for political purposes, 2020 didn't really end until Tuesday night with the runoff elections for U.S. Senate in Georgia. Here to recap the runoffs and talk about what's ahead with the state legislature and maybe some local policymaking are Blake Odd from Flagpole Magazine, Chris Dowd from AthensPoliticsNerd.com, and Gwen O'Looney from WXAG. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Well, let's start with the U.S. Senate races that wrapped up earlier this week. Both Republican incumbents were defeated. Have Georgia Democrats found the secret sauce to winning statewide now?
That's a good question. It sure looks that way. The suburbs are changing, and that's where they're finding all these new votes. And they've been able to turn out the African-American vote, which is sort of the backbone of the party. And so the question probably is, though, how much of this is driven by Trump? Republicans who voted against Trump, are they going to go back to being Republicans? I don't know the answer.
What was the key to winning these two statewide Senate runoffs? What did they do right? Or what did Republicans do wrong?
Well, I mean, I think it has a lot to do with all the organizing that Stacey Abrams and other Black leaders in Georgia have done over the past decade, really. And I do think Trump probably had something to do with it. I think organizing, though, is really the big story here, and just getting people out to vote.
You know, I agree with Chris, but I also think that if the two Republican senators had shown themselves to have some independence, some walking that line a little bit better than they did, that people would have seen them as more moderate.
Well, don't forget that, especially in Leffler's case, she did this to herself.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like that was where they wanted to be from a messaging standpoint, is right in lockstep appealing to the Trump base.
They didn't get boxed in. They did this to themselves. I mean, to even get in the runoff, she had to go so far to the right.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it's maybe not so much Democratic strength as it is Republican weakness. They have to appeal to these really far right voters to even have a chance to, like, for their base to come out for them. So they're kind of stuck.
You know, Trump pushed them farther and farther to being violent. I listened to his speech that Wednesday morning, and I would like a dollar for every time he used the word fight. And that it was inevitable that became a fight. I really think that Trump has pushed the extremists even farther away from reality.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just this giant feedback loop. I mean, you could see it on Wednesday where, Trump has been saying for months, like, oh, even before the election, well, if I lose, it was rigged. And then 40% of people believe this, and it's not true.
Is there going to be some sort of reckoning in the Republican Party? And to sort of make this a little bit more localized, is there going to be a reckoning in the Georgia Republican Party? And if so, what is it going to look like?
Well, right now, our Georgia legislators are working really hard to figure out how to make some of the technical changes that increased our vote to take those away, going backwards as far as making it easier for people to vote. And other states have gone much farther than we have. And so I think that's one of the things that Georgians need to be very aware of.
Yeah, I think the response from the Republican Party is going to be that they're going to make it harder for people to vote, because they know that when it's easy to vote, that's bad for them politically. And so they want to limit the number of people who are able to vote. And later on this year, we're going to get the census results, and they're going to redraw all the districts, and they're going to draw them in a way that is advantageous for Republicans. So they don't have to have a reckoning. They can just fudge the rules, basically.
Well, let's take a quick break and come back afterwards, and we'll talk a little bit about those potential changes to voting laws.
Hours ago, halfway around the world, the day has already begun.
Tens of thousands of people in Venezuela.
Britain is leaving the European Union.
Everyone was just running. People were crying. They were in tears. And we didn't know what was happening. Police kept telling us to move back, move back.
The thousands of protesters marched along a route.
When you need to know where the world went while you weren't looking. Morning Edition. Listen every morning.
This is Athens News Matters from WUGA News. I'm Martin Matheny, filling in this week for Alexia Ridley, here with our panel of commentators, Blake Odd from Flagpole Magazine, Chris Dowd from AthensPoliticsNerd.com, and Gwen O'Looney from WXAG. We've been talking about the recently concluded U.S. Senate runoffs here in Georgia. You may have heard something about that in the last couple of days or so. So now let's move from the recent past to kind of the near future. Before the break, we were talking about some possible changes to voting laws in Georgia. So I want to move the discussion over to talking about the upcoming legislative session. Legislators are set to return to the Capitol on Monday to begin the 2021 session of the General Assembly. Let's start by talking about some potential changes to voting laws. What could be coming down the pike?
This morning, I talked with Charlotte Sosby, and she went through the history of our opening up voting and making it easier. And so she saw us as taking steps backward. I think one of the problems is that they're looking at laws that would be easy for people who are comfortable with modern technology and hard for people who don't have those skills, who are not office workers or computer junkies like us. So that's one example. Taking absentees, you used to have to, if you tried to do an absentee ballot because you were going to be hunting that week, that was not allowed. Things like that, you know. But with COVID, people received ballots in the mail. I canvassed and I found so many people who spoke about how convenient that was and how much their mother, their older people, their husband who was a truck driver, those kind of things really appreciated the getting the mail-in ballot.
Another thing that that the state legislature is going to have to deal with, and Blake, you mentioned this, so I'm going to put you on the spot, is redistricting. So that's an every 10-year process. It comes when we get the census results back. And that's basically where state legislators get to draw their own districts as well as districts for U.S. House. Right now in Georgia politics, Republicans, they have the trifecta. They've got the governor's mansion and they've got the state house and the state senate, which means that they get to run this process. Do Democrats have any leverage at all in terms of determining these districts?
Very, very, very little to none. The courts have been really reluctant to jump in and say that partisan gerrymandering is illegal. And now, in addition to that, the Supreme Court struck down part of the Voting Rights Act that required pre-clearance for Southern states that had a history of discrimination. And that will make it much easier for Republicans, if they want to target majority Black districts, which they could not do before.
Hopefully there'll be some voting rights legislation coming out of the Biden administration sometime soon, because it sounds like that's really needed.
Yeah, that is needed. But let me say that one of the things we haven't mentioned is that the foundation for this is the census. And our census has been greatly crippled by COVID. We know that it was extended, but that its results are more in question this year than they have been in the last two censuses.
So, Blake, you guys reported at Flagpole this week that the mayor of Watkinsville, Bob Smith, also a former state legislator, he's asking state legislators to create a new judicial circuit that would cover Oconee County. That would mean that Oconee County would no longer share a judicial circuit with Athens-Clarke County. Mayor Smith says it'll save the county some money. I don't know. Call me skeptical, but I think there might be more to it than that.
I need to throw that one to Chris, though, because that was Chris's story.
Yeah, so about saving Oconee County money, I'm not sure if it actually even would save them money, because there's so many expenses that you have when you start up a whole new circuit like that. I mean, first of all, you have to pay the salaries of all the judges and the DA and, you know, everything like that. So I don't know if that holds up. And he didn't provide any numbers in his letter to the legislature. So I would really have to see the numbers on that before I would even assume that that would reduce costs. And then, of course, he didn't mention Deborah Gonzalez's election and her memo that she put out on her very first day in office, detailing all those changes, 40 different changes she wants to make, or that she already has made. So the GOP people in Athens, and I assume also Oconee County, were very upset about that. They think that there won't be any prosecution of crimes in the Western Circuit anymore, which is not true, but that's what they think.
Yeah, I noticed in her memo, not pursuing the death penalty in cases, a little bit more of a front-end look at cases before they go to trial to see about diversionary means.
A lot of those things are going to save a lot of money. It's not it's the county that ends up picking up the tab on the a new judicial circuit would be the county, one. But two, the death penalty is an excellent example. We, Athens-Clarke County has never successfully gotten the death penalty. And it cost a huge amount of money to the difference between a trial that could have a death penalty and one that doesn't have a death penalty is huge. So it's not just the moral, you know, that to show that killing people is wrong, but it's also a very financially positive move. So that death penalty, it's never worked in Athens. Why have those extra costs related to something that your juries have never agreed to?
One more thing about the new circuit for Oconee County. Another reason why it doesn't really make sense, at least to me, is that it would result in two tiny circuits. The Oconee County circuit would be the smallest by population by far from the research I was doing. And then that would leave the Western Circuit in Athens as by far the smallest in terms of land area. So it doesn't really make any sense from a number of different angles.
I think that when I'm in this role moderating, I'm not supposed to be opinionated, but I'm just going to go ahead and say they can have their judicial circuit if Athens can have a state Senate seat. That seems like a fair trade to me.
Martin, I said the exact same thing. you know, I mean, Athens has been, we not only had our Senate seat taken away, we had one of our House seats taken away.
That's right.
Given to Republicans in Oconee County, and that's why Athens is represented by four Republicans and one Democrat in the legislature. That's a fair trade.
Well, let's close things out today, maybe with something somewhat positive, I hope, which is looking at the year ahead and the mayor and commission. And I want to ask each of you to just what would you most like to see the mayor and commission take on in the next 12 months? And I'm going to start with Gwen, because you've been there.
Well, I kind of see this as a crucial time in the implementation of the SPILOS program that we just passed. And I would like to see them make that a more fluid and work together on that. The other thing that I feel real strongly about is that we've got to equalize the sidewalk, the infrastructure, and the resources throughout our community. Right now, that is not true. You can't find sidewalks on the east side of town. You can't find, and we've got to equalize our community.
Chris, what about you? What do you want to see the mayor and commission get to work on?
Well, I mean, it's something they are working on, but I think we really need to, and obviously like the sheriff and everyone would have to be involved in this, but I think we need to figure out our law enforcement situation. I think even many police officers, you know, weren't really happy with Chief Spruill. And then, of course, there are big problems, you know, in the sheriff's office and at the jail. We need to handle that. And we need to continue developing these citizen oversight boards and groups. So that's something that they are working on, but that's, I think, the most important thing to me.
And Blake, how about you?
I'm going to go with housing. Athens has a lot of challenges, but I think, you know, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, is probably the housing situation and how expensive housing is getting. And I know that's something that the mayor and commissioners talk about a lot, and you know, they've got, you know, committees, and, you know, there have been lots of studies done, but I really think we need to do something to make housing in Athens more affordable.
All right. Well, my thanks to Blake Odd from Flagpole Magazine, Chris Dowd from AthensPoliticsNerd.com, and Gwen O'Looney from WXAG. Thanks very much, y'all.